Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. I am your host, Bruce Irving, here with you for another episode of the show. Nicole Bean, joining me from Pizarro's Pizzeria, is joining me on the podcast today. We're going to talk about what it's like to run Pizarro's Pizzeria, the ups, the downs, the dealing with people, how she finds help, how she runs social media, all that and more on this episode of the podcast. First of all, thank you so much for reaching out to me on Instagram. I am at Smart Pizza Marketing and the Bruce Irving. We did a clubhouse room recently about vegan foods, which is a hot trend right now that I see becoming more popular over time. We're going to be doing more of those. But overall, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Very much appreciate you. Hopefully you have a great weekend this weekend, and we're going to have a great bunch of podcasts coming up for you in the near future. One thing I do want to mention is we are working on a TikTok challenge. If you want in on that, we are doing it inside of our mastermind group. Mastermind group is these challenges that we do. We do Instagram, we do email, we do TikTok. We bring in guests to share information about Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and Google Ads. All of that, plus two calls with me every single month to answer your marketing questions and kind of listen to and hang out with other entrepreneurs in the business who are doing the same exact thing you're doing, trying to grow a business, trying to figure out how to get help, trying to figure out how to talk. I mean, trying to figure out how to leverage social media in their business to get exposure and get more business and grow their team and all that good stuff. All of that, you get inside the mastermind group. So if you want in, smartpizzamarketing.com/mastermind to join our group and get in on these challenges and get in on these extra sessions that we do inside of the mastermind group. All right. Thank you so much for that. I will have an announcement about whether or not I am going to the Pizza Expo this year. Not 100% sure yet, so I don't want to talk about it. I know last week I talked about it, about you guys messaging me on Instagram and letting me know if you're going to attend. Got a ton of responses. I will tell you next week. Next week, I'm going to decide on whether or not I am attending. So stay tuned for that if you care at all. If you do, next week will be the episode you want to tune into. All right, let me just say thank you to a couple sponsors of the show, Fontanini and MailShark, and then we're going to get right into the content because this is a really good episode with Nicole. I think you're going to very much enjoy this one, and I'll see you on the other side. If you're looking to market your pizzeria in 2021, you have to contact MailShark. It's got to be your direct mail go-to company. Whether you want to get your menu in the hands of new customers or promote your pizza shop with a postcard, magnet, or one of the hottest direct mail pieces, they have these plastic postcards. MailShark will work with you to come up with the best marketing plan that fits your budget, and that's very important in 2021. MailShark gives pizzerias the ability to spread those mailings and payments out over a weekly schedule. So it doesn't have to be all upfront money. It helps you out, lets you work with them to put those content pieces out and pay for it as you go. Thousands of pizzerias trust MailShark with their direct mail and printing marketing. They are the best in the industry. Give them a call today, 610-621-5116, or you can visit them at themailshark.com/SPM to find out how they can help your pizza shop. They have so many options available. Again, 610-621-5116 or themailshark.com/SPM. From Italy to Chicago, the Fontanini family has been creating specialty pizza toppings and authentic sausages for generations. With a commitment to genuine handcrafted family recipes, it's a name that customers equate with excellence. The Fontanini brand has become very well known within the Italian and pizza segment of the food service and appears on menus ranging from small, independent Italian restaurants to national pizza chains and everything in between. There are so many places that I've visited over the years doing this podcast that use Fontanini products, and I have to say, I've yet to come across one that I do not enjoy. So whether you're interested in trying Fontanini sliced sausages, raw bulk sausage like they use in Chicago, meatballs, shaved pepperoni, or another pick from the list of products that Fontanini has, Smart Pizza Marketing listeners can request a free sample by going to Fontanini.com/Smart Pizza Marketing. Or if you're on Instagram at Fontanini Brand, you can follow them, give them a follow, shoot them a direct message, let them know you heard them on the Smart Pizza Marketing podcast. Again, if you want a free sample, you can request something at Fontanini.com/Smart Pizza Marketing. Or you know what? If you want a sample, go follow them on Instagram. Send them a message. Let them know you heard them here on the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast and what you would love to try. All right. Welcome back, Nicole. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
You were on the podcast not too long ago. I appreciate you taking the time to join me on the summit. For anybody who's listening to this later or watching the replay, give us a little background about who you are and what you do.
I'm Nicole B. I am a pizza chef, I guess, if you want to call it, pizzaiola. I own Pizarro's Pizza. We have two locations here in Houston, Texas. We're family-owned business. We started as Neapolitan and grew into a couple different styles. Went and learned with Tony Gimignani in San Francisco, added Detroit style, and then later added New York style, and then we added gluten-free. So we have kind of a nice little differentiation going on in the building, but definitely having multiple styles has definitely been a blessing versus a curse. I know sometimes it can be stressful, but it's definitely been a blessing because we've gained more, a better reputation also. And then, you know, people can eat different things. They're not just stuck with one style.
Yeah. You know what? Somebody asked me that the other day about having multiple styles. And do you suggest, like, now that you've done it, well, you didn't start with multiple, you've added them and now you've been going through that process. Do you suggest people, if they're going to have multiple styles, start with it or start with one and then add one later?
Start with one and then add one later. Now, I don't want to go too far into it because I will be talking about this at Expo this year.
Oh, will you?
So if you are going to Expo, yeah, definitely come to that. I'll be kind of telling you about all the logistics of adding another style. So I highly suggest start with one, add another, because it's very difficult to feed two kids at one time.
Yeah.
It's easier to feed one and then the other. Feeding two at the same time is really challenging.
Yeah, it's probably better to come up with like a real good system for one and then nail that and then go on to the next one.
Absolutely. You work out all the kinks in one and then deal with all the kinks on the second one, because otherwise you're just going to want to pull all your hair out.
It's kind of like what we tell people to do with marketing, right? Like if you're going to use social media, start with one platform, like Instagram or Facebook or whatever you're comfortable with. Master that. And then once you get a system and you mastered that, then move on to another platform.
Absolutely. Keep it simple.
Yeah, right? Like you got to, because it's so many different things and challenges you got to do as a business owner anyway. Trying to add more things in the beginning stages is probably not the best or smartest idea.
I mean, people can do it. It's just not super, super easy, and it's not the best way to do it, but I don't want to tell you what the best way to do anything is. I think it's some people just learn better doing it and figuring it out on the back end.
That's true. How has the COVID situation, I mean, I know it's probably kind of similar back to, or kind of back to normal for you guys down there in Texas, but like, did that affect your business at all in 2020?
It did. Honestly, it affected it in a really positive way. Since I'm part of the World Pizza Champions team, the great thing about being a part of a team is having a plethora of people across the country communicating all the time. So the fun part was watching it happen, just kind of this wave running across the US. So I was already prepared for it. Little background here is the day I decided that we were going to shut down the dining room, I called my brother and I called my dad and had them on a conference call. I was at the dog park. And I was like, hey, I just want you guys to know I'm going to shut down the dining room tomorrow. And they freaked out on me. They're like, no, we can't do that. People will panic. They'll just straight up panic. We can't do that. We're basically just cutting ourselves off. And about an hour after I got off that phone call, the governor had said, no more dine-in.
Wow.
And so I called my brother and I called my dad. I said, did you see the news? They're like, how'd you know? And I was like, I didn't. I just knew that it was coming and I was going to just be prepared for it. And everything that had happened, I had already seen happening on the West, or I'm sorry, the East Coast. And it was one of those situations where there is no time to stop and think about what do we do. It's like, this is what we're doing. We're making pizza kits. We're shutting down the dining room. We're figuring out curbside. This is just how it's going to have to operate. And there is no time to rest. And I think that honestly benefited us more than anything else, because restaurants around us were just in shock. They didn't know what was coming. They had no idea how to handle it. So they shut down for a few days or a couple weeks. And some of those businesses suffered terribly because they weren't prepared.
It's crazy like how quick it came about. And you're right though. Like, but you know, like you said, being part of the World Pizza Champions, which really is just being part of a network of people who are business owners around the country, gave you data about what's happening. And it always kind of happens in California, in like the New York East Coast area. And those are the two places where they move. If something like this happens, they're going to shut down their dining rooms the quickest. And then everybody else kind of follows suit. So I'm sure that's what happened with you. Yep. But that just goes to like you have, by being part of the World Pizza Champions and going to Pizza Expo, you have access to people who run businesses around the country that you can ask questions to and kind of get information from and make better business decisions on your own business. And I think that's kind of like what you're talking about there. Like you learn from them because they went through it already.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Networking has been a lifesaver in so many ways.
Have you, so does what changed during COVID? Like I know you just mentioned curbside pickup, online ordering, pizza kits, anything that you did during COVID that now that we're getting back to open, you're going to stick with?
Absolutely. Since we removed menus and we went to the QR code, I knew instantaneously, like when we did that, that same day, I was like, we're never going back to menus ever again. Like this is going to be the menu going forward. One, it's so much easier just to upload. It's the same QR code. All you do is just upload your new menu to your online ordering portal.
Right.
QR code stays the same because it's just going to a link. And it removes so much labor. And it's kind of a waste of time is cleaning those menus. And we all know how gross menus are. it drives me bananas that I still go out and people are still handing out menus. I'm like, guys, come on, give it the times here. Like, we knew that this was an issue before COVID, and yet we're still doing this. And because we're trying to get back to normal, it's, you know, let's learn from these things and say, okay, these things are dirty and disgusting. Let's get rid of them. Same thing with our Parmesan and our pepper shakers that we had on the tables. I hated having to clean those things because not to pinpoint parents, but it was typically kids that would start licking them and grabbing them with their dirty hands because kids don't know any better.
Yeah.
But the parents typically don't say anything like, hey, my kid licked the Parmesan, like licked the bowl clean.
Just kind of push it aside and pretend it's not there.
Yeah. They just kind of pretend like nothing ever happened. And all you're doing is spreading more germs and stuff like that. And I'm just so conscious of those things. We would clean those all the time. It just got to a point where when COVID happened, I was like, thank God we can get rid of these things. So now, you know, we've put the plates kind of back out because we're fast casual. One of my managers asked me the other day, you know, what are we going to do with all these pepper shakers? I was like, dude, I don't care what you do with them. Sell them on eBay, Craigslist, Facebook. I don't care. Just get rid of them. I don't want them. They're gross. Like, you know, keep Roma happy. Just keep buying little packets.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot more to clean and it's more paper and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's cleanlier for the customer. It's cleanlier for us to have to take care of, you know, just picking up paper versus, you know, touching dirty things and having to clean it again and again and again.
Right. I think COVID did a couple things. It obviously made us do things that maybe we always knew we needed to do in our business, but didn't have the time or the energy to actually pull the trigger and actually do it. Made you do it because you had no choice. Like if you didn't have online ordering, COVID made you get online ordering.
You had to get online ordering.
And like you
said, if you didn't know, like delivery.
Yes.
We finally pulled the trigger on cutting off a third party. Like I finally, that was the camel that broke the straw's back, or the, you know what I'm saying? The straw that broke camel's back, on my third party delivery. I was like, this is the time to do it, like now or never. And so finally we just pulled the strings and said, we're doing our own delivery.
So you transitioned from third party delivery to your own.
Yep.
How did that go?
Messy. it was very interesting. Right before COVID, I think probably in January or February, we had just gotten the installation in our POS system where we could dispatch through DoorDash, the integrations. So we got the delivery integration put in, we could use it with DoorDash. And that was really interesting. We're like, okay, this is, you know, we can kind of see how this works to work towards delivery. And there were a couple of snafus. There were some, you know, customers who were upset and took forever. And of course, you know, DoorDash didn't deliver how they should have. But it was a very seamless transition to say, okay, the system is in place. We just need to get drivers and we need to figure out how that operation is going to run on our end and how we cut them off. because we know we can do a better job. We know that we have people that we can account on. And if there's an issue, well, now they're ours and not third party where I got to call DoorDash if I can even get a hold of them on a Friday night,
right,
and get this resolved. And it took a while. We're still working out a couple kinks with a few things. We still utilize the DoorDash integration sometimes when our drivers are sick or they can't make it, or we're just shorthanded on drivers. We kind of have to use DoorDash on those last minute things.
Yeah, but
for the most part, pretty much cut off.
I like, so you're using DoorDash kind of as a crutch, right? Like if you need them or if they maybe, like, I know a couple of people that have been on the podcast that use DoorDash or the third party, whatever it is, as maybe a delivery extended area where they don't want to send their own drivers because it's kind of too far away. But for DoorDash, it's just a one-way trip versus a there and back trip, makes it easier for them. So you're kind of using it the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we've kind of learned that lesson too, is, you know, we have one zone that's between two of our locations. It's kind of what we call a dead zone, where it's just too far for each location. And we've lost so many orders because we've had a driver out. It's, you know, 20 minute drive out to that location, right, and then 20 minutes back. That's 40 minutes gone where we could utilize DoorDash and say, hey, here's your order. It's 20 minutes. See you later. I don't got to worry about it.
I think a lot of people right now too are struggling to find delivery drivers if they have their own drivers or their own delivery versus any third party. They're having a hard time finding delivery. So I've been getting a lot of emails and a lot of questions about people like, hey, I've been thinking about maybe taking on, I've never done third party delivery, but I'm thinking about taking on third party delivery just because I can't find delivery drivers.
Ask an employee if they want more money. That's what we've done. We have one at this specific location, Matt, today, that works in the mornings here. And then on the weekends at night, he comes to clock in as a driver. So he doesn't cost me anything other than his tips and his 1099 stuff.
Right.
So he's earning more money and he's a person I already know. So it works out really well for us. It's very seamless. He already knows the business, and right, two, he's, you know, making more money on the side. So it's a win-win for everyone, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, I just think there's always, I was actually just on Twitter before I got on this interview, in Michael Lastoria, who's the CEO of Ann Pizza out of DC. Mm-hmm. He was just tweeted something and he said, you know, in the last 6 months or 9 months, however long it was, we opened 5 locations. We've hired 100 employees, and he listed off some things that he does for his employees. And he's like, there's not a labor shortage problem. There's a business to employee problem where they're not wanting to work for you. It's not that there's not people out there looking for work. It's just they're choosing not to work for you. So you got to figure out what's the why of why they're not choosing, to work for you and fix that.
I think that's a good analogy. I mean, honestly, you know, we sit here and we think about, like, no one wants to work because, yeah, they're getting paid to sit on their ass. Right. My French.
Which hopefully that'll be coming to an end. It is true,
but at the same time, like, you know, what are we doing wrong that these employees don't want to get off the couch and they don't want to come to work? You know, you're not doing anything at home. You're not, you know, benefiting yourself. You're not making yourself any better by sitting on the couch. So what are we doing as employers that we can't get you to get off the couch? It's not enough for you to get off the couch to make yourself a better person. We need to figure that out.
And it's
our problem as well.
Yeah. And it's not like you're doing anything bad. It's just like, all right, the times are changing. What's different about the people who want jobs now that want to work for us? And how do we attract those people? Like, what do we have to change in our business? And don't be hard headed about it. Like, what do we have to change in our business to make it a place where people, if they have to choose between 10 different places, because that's really what's happening. There's a lot of people looking for work right now. They're getting, there's an employee out there, they're getting to choose, all right, where am I going to work? Not like, I need a job, who's hiring? They're like, all right, there's 10 people hiring, where do I want to work? What's going to make them want to choose your business versus the other ones that are hiring?
Absolutely. It's a valid point. You know, everyone's wanting to hire somebody, but, you know, they get to choose where they want to work. We don't get to choose them, because even if we hire them, they can work for one day and they took an interview, you know, the day after us, And they're like, well, that one sounds a lot better. And, you know, I know someone who works there.
Right.
So obviously that one's going to be way more appealing than, you know, a new place that you don't know anybody there. You just started or seems complicated. You didn't like the first day of work. I get it.
That's it. But like you just said it right there. Like yeah. They knew somebody that worked there and it sounded mm-hmm. better.
Sounded better. I mean, that's one thing that in the last 9 years that I know personally that myself and my husband have made big changes to our family business. You know, coming in and, you know, taking over the business from my dad. You know, my dad and my brother had a very specific way of how they wanted the employee to work and what they expected from them. But the employee also expects a lot from us.
Yeah.
And it's a two-way street. It's a relationship. And over the last 9 years, I've kind of seen a lot of really good employees leave for various reasons. But to keep someone for a long time, you have to not only pay them well, but also treat them fairly, give them a nice work-life balance. That's really big. And also not run them ragged. You know, like this mental health thing has become very, very big right. over the last, I would say, 8 months. Like mental health is just like a huge thing.
Yep.
It's very true. I know I've personally gone through like a lot of burnouts and I go through them quickly because there's so many headaches in this industry. But at the same time, if my work-life balance was better, I might not be so burnt out. So I try and burn myself out versus the employee. So I'm like, you're going to have a better work-life balance than I am because I need you to stay here.
Right. It's better for me, even though I'm getting burnt out, it's better for me if you're still here.
Exactly. Like I will take the burnouts and keep my employees happy. Honestly, it's a rough balance for me, but at the end of the day, if I can keep the employees happy and you know, if they have a request off like the last couple of months, like whatever request you're giving me, I'm just like, whatever, like if that's what makes you happy, then by all means, please take the day off.
Right. I think there's so I have two daughters that are like graduating college or not graduating college, graduating high school. And a lot mm-hmm. of their friends are at a point in their life where, you know, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 40. So when I was graduating high school, college seemed like, and I didn't go to college because it wasn't for me. But going to college seemed like the next step, right? Like it was always taught when I was in high school, like, all right, you graduate high school, you just go to college. That's just what you do. Like, and then you figure out what you want to do after that. I feel like nowadays, the kids nowadays who are either getting ready to graduate high school or just graduated high school don't necessarily see college as the have-to next step, which means there's a whole lot of kids out there who are going to graduate high school or have just graduated high school that are looking for a career or something to do. It's our job as restaurant owners and operators to be able to effectively communicate that this could be a career for them and not just an hourly job that you do in the summers. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's one of my biggest things. And I try and preach this to every one of my employees, especially my managers. It's like, I know you're not going to be here forever.
Right.
And I don't care what you do after this or how long you're here, but there's one thing that you need to know is how to be a better person and how to work better, how to work with people, how to enjoy your job, how to speak up for yourself, how to explain yourself and just move forward. Because if you don't like this job and you don't say, I don't like this part of my job or I don't like this or I don't like that, and you just quit, doesn't make anything better for any side of the party. Like right. You just quit on me and I don't know why you quit. How does that make me any better of an employer? It doesn't.
Right.
But also it doesn't make you any better of a person to just quit and not tell somebody, hey, I didn't like this. Cause I could have changed it. You know, like, hey, you kept getting in fights with, you know, John. Okay. Well, maybe we need to separate you and John's shifts and that would make your life so much better. But It's just little simple things. And like you said, you know, you didn't go to college. I took a little break between high school and college because long story short, I didn't know if that was the right path for me.
Yeah.
I wasn't super awesome at the last couple years of high school. So I was like, that's not for me. But I ended up going to college and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I switched my degree and my senior year after I realized I did not want to be a teacher. It was too much paperwork and too much politics involved in it. And I changed my degree to fashion and merchandising, which I loved. And I loved what I was doing. I loved going to school. Like, it was really nice to change my degree. And I actually enjoyed doing that because it was something I enjoyed.
Yeah.
And it takes a long time to figure out what you enjoy. You have to experience different things to get to the right path, whether 100%. That's college. That's great. If it's not college, that's totally fine too.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with not going to college.
I agree with that 100%. I think it's more accepted now than it was when I was younger, you know, for sure. Like, if you, it's almost like being a pizza maker, right? Like 25 years ago, when I was like 15, you tell people you're a pizza maker, they're like, oh, you're a loser.
No. Like, I mean, think about all the freaking skills that you learn, like,
yeah,
doing something, you know, being in a business, seeing how things operate, functioning at a higher level, working at a fast-paced environment. Like, you don't learn those things in college.
Right.
You don't learn those things in school. And you most certainly don't learn the most important things that you need to know, like doing your taxes and like utilizing actual math skills that you use in high school.
Right.
They actually come in handy when you're doing something that you love and like learning.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You touched on this a little bit about like self-care and like mental health. How do you deal with that as a business owner? Like, what do you do to help yourself or help your employees? I know you mentioned like you give them whatever days off they want now because it's more important that they be happy, but like, how do you do it for yourself?
Yeah. For myself, I try and just like, so I've allocated myself my actual day off. I know it sounds kind of weird, but we're closed on Mondays. So like, that's everybody's day off. But typically, like, I'm still answering emails, I'm still taking phone calls, I'm still talking to, you know, various different people. I'm still working.
Right.
So I've decided, okay, Mondays, I'm not answering emails. I'm not dealing with anything with the business unless the building has burned down or something like super vital that, you know, if I don't do this today, I can't function tomorrow. I've kind of just set a boundary of no more anything. It's just me time on Mondays. And then I'm trying to do that on Wednesdays now too, since it's my other day off.
Yeah.
Just trying to literally just cut myself off from being a business owner and just saying, you can do whatever you want to do today. You don't have to do any emails. You don't have to do anything. Because I'm like, well, if I get this done, then I don't have to do it tomorrow. But I'm still going to be there tomorrow. Just wait.
Right.
You know, take a vacation. You know, just try and do things that I wouldn't normally do.
I think that's important for owners to do that. We've neglected for a long time.
Yeah. It's just constant. You're constantly worried about the damn business. And I saw it drove my parents crazy. And I don't want to be like that. I want my time to be my time. And the business is its own entity and it has its own life and breath. And I can let it breathe on its own for a day and it's going to be okay.
All right. I mean, listen. The worst case scenario is you got to go in the next day and you got to fix everything that broke the day before, which happens.
The life of an owner.
Yeah,
for sure. The life of an owner.
But like, I've said this so many times in the summit, people are going to get sick of me saying it, but like, we're on this planet for so short a period of time. You can't just spend every hour working and then you look back after 50 years and you're like, what did I work all that time for? I didn't even enjoy any part of that life.
Absolutely. I mean, I have a theory that it's just money. You'll make more.
Yeah.
Same thing with like with the business. Like, it's just a business. It's not who I am. It's what I do, and who I am and what I do are two separate entities, and they can both coexist. And so you just have to find that balance.
Yeah, and maximize, like, you just maximize the time that you do work. Like, don't waste time. If you're supposed to be at work today, don't surf the internet. Like, work, and then take tomorrow off, and don't work.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely. We're so, like, these phones and technology has made it so easy for us to communicate and work from anywhere that we always work now. We don't ever take time off. And it's just like, oh, it's easy to just check in on the store because I have my phone in my pocket. But maybe that you shouldn't do that.
Nope. I'll wait if the phone rings.
Yeah.
If the phone rings and it's one of the managers or something, I'll pick it up hesitantly, but I will pick it up because I know they're calling me for a reason. So they typically try not to bother me.
Yeah. They know, you know, like, yeah, you had those people. Like, I knew we had managers too. Like, if they called you, even though it was your day off, it was something was really going wrong because they knew not to call you on your day off.
And we try and do the same thing for them as well. Like if it's important and I need to tell you now, I'm going to text you versus call you.
Yeah.
So that way you just, you have the information versus, you know, like waiting till the next day and just being surprised by something. For example, you know, a week ago I got a call from a vendor like, hey, we have an issue. I just need to tell you that, you know, you're going to get a different tomato. Don't freak out. And so that was a scenario that I just group text like, hey, just FYI, we're getting a different tomato. No one freak out. No need to call. Just a heads up.
Right.
And just left it at that. And then everyone's on the same page without, you know, having to stop their day or it being ruined.
Oh yeah. Having to make a phone call or something like that when it happens in the moment. Yeah, I agree. I understand that. So when it comes to, let me ask you this, let's transition to a little bit of marketing. What's your favorite marketing platform for your business?
I'm obsessed with Instagram right now. Like I cannot get onto TikTok. I can't figure that thing out. And maybe I'm just too old for it. I love watching it. I enjoy seeing the videos and the reels and everything. And just like, I can't seem to get on that platform, but Instagram for me really hits hard. Yeah. Facebook's kind of dropped off very heavily, but Instagram's still kicking pretty hard.
I think TikTok just takes more work. Like it's not as easy. Like you can take a photo or a video pretty easy for Instagram. You either put it in a story or put it in your post and it's kind of done, right? Like there's not too much editing or thinking about the creative process. You just kind of take a nice photo of a food or a video and you're on there. TikTok takes some work.
It does. But I also feel like you have to really understand your end user too, because I've noticed that posts that don't include just a snapshot of pizza don't do well. Like they don't, no one pays attention to them. I don't get any reactions. Yeah, I don't get commentary. There's no back and forth. Like if I post a salad, it hits way lower than if I post a pizza. And typically the customer base does not respond well with videos on our Instagram either. Really? Like they love the stories. Stories are fine.
Yep.
But they want them to be very catered to like specials of the day, the specific pizzas. Like I've had a lot of commentary with my customers through Instagram and gotten a lot of feedback. And just personally, I don't think TikTok would work well for my business. On my personal level, maybe, but I just can't invest into it.
Yeah. I think that's, you have to know your business, right? Like maybe, I get this question a call all the time, like, hey, Bruce, what should I use? And I said, you know what? It really depends. There's no like one answer for anybody because it depends on like what kind of business you have, where you're mm-hmm. located, who your clientele is, and like who you cater to. Because if you're in a town with a lot of older people, you should like TikTok's not going to, you might find people watch your TikToks, but they're probably not going to be the local people who are going to be customers, which is the reason you're doing your marketing. You know, so I think you have to figure out who your customer is and then where are they spending their time. So for you, it obviously sounds like Instagram is the place for your, where your customers are hanging out the most. So you're creating content for Instagram.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, I've got a friend out in New Jersey that he only does TikTok. Like he'll post on Instagram, but his entire menu is only on TikTok. Like he doesn't have a menu in the restaurant.
Really? What's the name of the place?
It's called Joe's Rotisserie.
Oh yeah, I know Joe. Yeah.
You're Joe. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So Joe he only Brignone does TikTok.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm like, you're kidding, right? He's like, no, I love this.
Yeah.
He's young. He's like 25, right? I'm like, okay, dude, like whatever. You're kidding. He's like, no, that's how my menu works. They just show me on TikTok and I charge them whatever I want. And I'm like, my mind is so blown right now. Like you just charge whatever you want. He's like, yeah, there's no prices on there or anything. You just, they show me what they want on TikTok and I make it.
That's an amazing business concept
it
right there.
It is.
I feel like
I'm like, what is wrong with people? But they're doing it at Starbucks too. And of course the baristas are hating it. But I mean, TikTok has really changed a lot of the ways that businesses operate and the what people are ordering is because they saw it on TikTok. They want it. They have to have it.
You are 100% right. My daughter was cooking something yesterday. Last night. And I'm like, what are you making? She's like, I don't know. I saw it on TikTok. I'm like, great. See how it comes out.
She could be, you know, making you a mud pie. You don't even know.
It's true. I don't even, she just saw it on TikTok. Like, she just saw it on TikTok and they just believe it's real and good. Like, just because it's on TikTok, I'm going to make it at my house. Like, that's a great business right there. I'm going to try that out myself.
It is. Yeah.
Maybe
I was totally mind blown when you told me that. I was like, that would never work for my business. People would be like, get out of here.
Do you think it's because like, of the area you're in?
I don't think so. I mean, Houston's very diverse. There's quite a wide range of things that people are accept, like they will accept price point.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, no, we would never spend that much money on one singular item, or that wasn't, it's never worth it. So I think you have to be kind of cautious and careful with what you're getting. But I think for Joe, in that instance, he's got a very specific targeted market.
Yeah.
And it works for him. And so they're like, oh, it's exactly what was on TikTok. It was totally worth it. I don't know if that would work for my customers because, you know, they get gripey about paying extra for cupping pepperoni.
You know what it is too? Your business has been around for so long that you have like people are aware of you and what you do and how you do it. So like that would be totally new to them to do on TikTok. Whereas Joe would be like, this is just how I've always done it.
Yeah. And I think that's honestly how he has. Like, I think his business has been open for a few years now, but it's just crazy to me. And like, that's the platform that he's using and that's working. And I mean, whatever, kudos to him, man. Yeah.
So the key for this is you got to test things out. Like it's not all things to all people.
Absolutely. I mean, Facebook might work much better for you than it works for me. Instagram may not be your avenue. You may not like it. You really have to find what works best for you and your customer.
Right. Do you do email marketing too?
No, I hate getting emails, and we've done a few emails. Like I've tested a few with like MailChimp.
Yeah.
Really bad responses. So I was like, this is not going to work well for us at all.
Really?
Yeah. I looked back at like the rates and stuff, and it was like 90% of them basically just dropped off the list. They were like, don't email me. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, learn my lesson. It does work for some people, and we're not the type of company that does like a lot of like coupons or discounts
typically.
So I don't think that would work for us, even though we have the integration to do so. It just isn't for our business per se, but it can work really well for some people. I know that there's a lot of movement towards text couponing.
Yes.
So, I mean, again, you just have to figure out if that's your customer base or not. I don't personally like to be bombarded by text messages or emails from businesses. And I believe my customers are like myself and they don't want to be bothered. Like they just want to eat what they want to eat when they want to eat it. And they don't want me to tell them what to do or, you know, when to come in.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I love having these conversations because I just did an interview yesterday with Mike Bausch. Y'all know you might know Mike.
I love Mike.
And he was like, you got to do email. And then you're like, no, I hate email. So it's like, you know what? You got to listen. You got to like get out there, talk to people, have conversations. And there's no answer. Like, I think everybody who runs a business or is opening a business is like, I want the answer. How do I make the perfect dough? How do I market my business perfectly? Like, there's no answer. There's no answer. There's a lot of information that you have to go through and pick out what works for you and test it. And if it works, fantastic. Keep doing it. If it doesn't, get rid of it and go to the next thing.
Absolutely. But honestly, though, if you are the person looking to do email marketing, Mike Bausch is your man.
Yeah, he is. He's like,
he really is.
He's got a whole bunch of stuff going on. He was like, I interviewed him yesterday and I'm like, hey, tell me a little bit about what you got going on. And he named like 47 things. I'm like, dude, do you sleep?
He is so regimented. So my husband and I went to visit him in November and I was like, okay, I really need help. Mike was getting burnt out. And I called him and I was like, hey, you know, these things, we're really close. We talk a lot. So he's like, just come up and see me. Like I've been doing these classes and just come hang out for a couple days. So drove up there. And mind you, he had just released his book.
Yeah.
So I got his audiobook. We drove 6 hours to Tulsa, listened to his entire audiobook, and then spent 2.5 days with him.
That's a lot of Mike.
But it was a lot. He goes, are you sure that you want to hang out for another 2 days? You just spent like 6 hours listening to me nonstop. I was like, no, we're doing this. But that guy is so regimented. I mean, like from the minute he wakes up, his schedule is like very regimentation. Like I've never seen anybody work like Mike.
Wow.
And when his day's over, he cuts it.
It's done.
Like it's like cut and dry. Like he's done for the day. Don't text me. Don't bother me. It's family time. Like I'm not messing with anything. like while we were there, he took an interview with the local news station. He was like, oh, just hang out for like 10 minutes. I'll be back in 10 minutes. 10 minutes later, he's back. He's like, quick and done. We're good.
That's exactly like what we talked about earlier. Like he maximizes his work day.
He really does. I mean, I've never seen anybody work like that before. And he really turned me on to a lot of like good regimentations of like automate things, use emails, create like files, like doc files, like Google Doc files has been a lifesaver yeah. since he turned me on to those things. But honestly, like I just have like these files just listed, and I ended up buying a new laptop after, I think back in November before I went to see him, and I put everything as much as I could, just condensed it down. I have 3 files on my actual computer now because everything's like uploaded on some kind of cloud, something or other. And I was like, God, Mike, you're all godsend. I mean, seriously, like cloud everything. It's great. Yeah. You have access to it anywhere.
I do that a lot myself. I, you know what? I got to get on that. I got to maybe have him back on this and kind of go over his regimen because I'm a hot mess. Like someone asked me, hey, you want to be on this podcast? Yeah, sure. No problem. Then the day comes. I'm like, damn it. I have 2 things at 1 o'clock. How did that happen to me?
Yep. Google Calendar. That's Mike's thing. Google Calendar. I don't personally use Google Calendar. I use my Apple Calendar on my phone, but everything's on my calendar. And when I schedule appointments, I have them like, hold on, let me look at my calendar.
So you're going to
be helpful.
You're speaking at Pizza Expo this year, right? What's the name of your class?
Yes. It's called Logistics of Offering Multiple Styles.
Is that like an extra class or is it part of the Pizza Expo?
It's part of the Pizza Expo.
So with the regular ticket,
so you'll be having Wednesday, I think at 1 o'clock.
You think Pizza Expo is happening 100%?
100%.
All right, good.
100%.
All right, I'm looking forward to that.
If not, I'm showing up to Las Vegas anyway.
I think a lot of people are. A lot of people are sick of doing their ticket over. So everybody bought their ticket and they're like, it's just happening. We're going regardless.
Everybody's getting hugs, by the way.
Excellent. Nicole, where can people go, say, follow you if they want to visit you in person or they want to go online and say hello and check you guys out? Where should they go?
Oh, so many things. Okay. You can find us on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook, although I'm not really on it too much. Nicole Bean, Pizarro's Pizza. Instagram is at Nick, N-I-C dot Bean, B-E-A-N. And then my work is Pizarro's underscore pizza underscore Napolitana. I know it's a mouthful.
Sorry. 1Z and Pizarro's, right?
I'm sorry.
Is it 1Z and Pizarro's?
1Z, 1R.
Okay.
Yep. And then I think that's kind of it. I mean, I'm on Instagram a lot, so you can find me there. If you want to come visit me, I'm here in Houston. Just Google Pizarro's Pizza. I'm typically at one of the locations 5 days a week.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you again for joining me on this. Don't go anywhere yet, but I appreciate you taking the time out of your day and joining me here on the
Oh, I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you to Nicole for joining me on the podcast. Thank you for listening and joining me on the podcast. If you have a question or a comment or you want to be a guest on the podcast, reach out to me. Bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com is my email, or if Instagram is your thing, I am @TheBruceIrving on Instagram and also @SmartPizzaMarketing. Follow us there. And if you have a question, email me. I'll be glad to answer it, whether that be through email or on the podcast here. And if you want to join our mastermind group, again, we do extra sessions. We have 2 live calls with me every month and other pizzeria owners and restaurant owners. And we are doing these challenges. We did Instagram. We're doing TikTok. Next, we're doing email marketing. We might do bot marketing. All of that inside of the mastermind group every single month. We try to bring you as much valuable info for you to use inside of your business as I possibly can. SmartPizzaMarketing.com/mastermind. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. If you don't do any of that before this and you just want to hit the 5-star review button on iTunes, very much appreciated. Look forward to hearing from you and have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.